Okay, so we're going to try to just run through the end of Simon Kuf Pei Dalet, a little bit of Kuf Pei Hei and Kuf Pei Vav, just in the interest of covering ground, as we're running out of time to get where we need to get. there's a shaila that doesn't come up that often, but does come up on occasion. Could come from the context of a kala or someone with irregular cycles or some unexpected change to a cycle. And that is, what is the status of a Alel HaTfilah B'Yom HaVest? That if, due to some quirk in a woman's cycle, she ends up having a Yom HaVest on Leil Tfilah, so is Leil Tfilah somehow the equivalent of Yotzei L'Derech, where, at least Me'ikar HaDin, as we'll see, we may paskin that Tashmish would be mutter, even the Onos HaVest. So the Torah HaShlamim, in Kuf Pei Zayin, Sefkatan Kaf Tes leaves this as a Tzarathian. The Piskei Tshuva here in Kuf Pei Dalet Sefkatan Kaf Beis quotes a Knesset Yecheskel. Sefkatan Kaf Beis quotes Knesset Yecheskel. The answer is the Gilead Marsha on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, and they are Mekel. One of the Rayas of the Knesset Yecheskel. It's from the Din and Simon Reish Mem and Arachayim, that's the Simon of Hilchos Derech Eretz, where they're the Mechaber Paskins and Arachayim Reish Mem, that the Lashon is Kol Adam Tzar Lifko Ishto. Person has to be Pukit Ishto, both the Leil Tfila and the Yotzei L'Derech. So the Mechaber there equates the Din of Leil Tfila with the Din of Yotzei L'Derech. So to the extent that we are Mekel on Yotzei L'Derech, or at least there's a possibility to be Mekel by Yotzei L'Derech, we'd be equally Mekel on Leil Tfilah. So that's the Knesset Yecheskel that the Piskei Tshuva quotes, but most Poskim argue, and most Poskim assume that if it's an Onos Smuchel Avast, or a Ruah Avast, or something like that, where Mekel didn't Mekel anyway, even if in general you're Machmir, so then you can be Mekel on the Orz Ruah Vest, the Leil Tfilah. But for the Onos HaVest itself, the consensus of the Poskim seems to be Lechumra, that you can't allow Tashmish, the Onos HaVest, even if it is Leil Tfilah. The Nod Bihuda, Tinyana Yerodea Kuf Yudayin, Tinyana Yerodea Simin Kuf Yud Zion as well. Okay, now as far as the din of Yotzei L'Derech itself, yeah.
I was going to like another 5 minutes. The proof from Yotzei L'Derech 3 actually solid proof.
It's a solid what? Why is it a solid proof?
Because
maybe we'll see in a minute why it may not be. I'm sorry?
I was going to say, I'm going to go back to it. Why now?
Right. Let's talk about Yotzei L'Derech. So we saw the basic sketch of the machlokas rishonim on Yotzei L'Derech previously, but the way this makes it to Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, "Yotzei L'Derech Tzarech Lifko Ishto Afilu Samach L'Vesta." That if a person is contemplating Yotzei L'Derech, Chayav Lifko Ishto. So the Mechaber is also essentially just Lashon Gemara, without explaining what Poked Ishto means in this context. The Rama writes, Afil B'Tashmish Shari, Mikal Makom Hamachmir Shalol L'Pokta Rakhmi Dibre Ritza Yitavo Allah Bracha. The Mikra Din, the Rama Paskins, like the Raiva, the Rashba, those we show for whom Tashmish is mutter. He throws in that if you're going to be machmir, tavu ala bracha, that's based on a smag. Lashon smag in Kuf Yud Aleph, the Beis Yosef quotes it, is he presents the argument of Lot, and then he says, v'achol pikein, machmir tavu ala bracha, that even though Mikra Din, we're matir tashmish, but a machmir tavu ala bracha. So the Achronim Kodem Marshal, the later Achronim Kodem Marshal, who's bader, what's the tavu ala bracha? That it's not a to be machmir, to ask Tashmish, is to be makel on the din of Lifka the Zishta. So what's a chumra and what's a kula? Everything's relative. So if there's a mitzvah, Lifka the Zishta, and if we assume makel a din, Lifka the Zishta means betashmish, so what does that mean? A machmir tavla bracha, not to fulfill the din of being hokin ishta ishta betashmish. That's what Lifka the Zishta means. So what's this guy's been off a machmir tavla bracha? Every the chumra from one perspective is a kula on the din of the Gemara in another perspective. So the Toras HaShlamim quotes this marshal here in Sif Katan Yotas. So he writes, one possibility is so the Marshal answers in one answer. A few lines in, he quotes the Lashon Marshal, Inami Hafi Kamar, Hamachmer al Atzmo, Umoneya Milelech, Batsabesta, Kadesh lo Yachmis Atzmo, Besafi Tavol Bracha. The Machmer Tavol Bracha doesn't mean Hamachmer not to be poked as Ishta, Batashmish, when you're Yosel Derech. It means Hamachmer to avoid the situation, to postpone your trip. In order to avoid getting into this shayla, and the Toras HaShlamim recommends that mahalach that if you do that, then you're yosei chaladeus because you avoid the issue. That's clearly not how the Rama understood the smag, because the Rama is clear that rosh lotzei sedara chayiv lifkad afilu b'tashmish mikol makom. So in the Smag, you can read after Pekena Machmir Tavla Bracha means to avoid the situation, but that can't be Shana Rama. The Rama says the Machmir in that situation where Yosef Zerach will not lepok the Tashmish, only lepok the Nigger Rizli Tavla Bracha. So whether that's Shana in the Smag, that's clearly not Pshat in the Rama. Be that as may, so the Marsha's Kasha stands, but Lamaisa, that's what the Rama writes. Then the Rama says, the Yesh Omrim, this is based on the Mika Yosef Ver Nivamis, the Yesh Omrim, the Mada Mosa Leila Chuderach, the Ishto Nida, the Tipo Tach Ona Achas, Sarah Bahamtin. That if a person has a trip planned, and if he waits around another owner is asking to go to the mikvah, then he has to delay his trip. So the shach here in Sukkot and Cafe is bothered by, quote, the Rambam, the Rambam in the Perek Daled, that a person shouldn't be boel biyom yitzia laderach or biyom in a derach. So the Nuchiyosis recommendation runs into a separate problem, not a hilchos nida problem, a hilchos deis problem, that you're not supposed to be talking as ishto within a day of travel. So you're going to have to delay your trip further, according if you're concerned about the Rambam in hilchos deis. So to that, the Beis Lachem Yehud on the side here of the Shulchan Aruch writes, quoting from the Torah of Canaan, the name of the Marshal, that there's a difference between if a person goes on a trip by foot or he goes on a trip in a carriage or on a horse or a donkey. That if he's traveling by foot, so then there's more fatigue associated with the trip, and then Tashmish is not recommended within the immediate time that you're setting off on the journey. But if you're traveling through some more restful form of transportation, you have to walk the whole way, then that round of stays doesn't apply. So in a Hanami, if you're concerned about round of stays and you're setting off by foot, then the Mukhiyosi suggestion doesn't help. But as most people nowadays, or even his days, we're not traveling on long journeys by foot, the Rambam is of no concern. Anyway, so back to Michael's question. The reason that the consensus of the poskim is that we're machmir b'leil tefillah b'anos haves is that we're basically machmir like the Ramah recommends by Yosef Luderich as well. That we avoid getting that situation and we wouldn't be matir under normal circumstances, tashmish b'anos haves atzma. Okay. Sif Yud Aleph, Mechaber writes, Isha sheyesh leves liyamim levad, v'igia shas vesta, asher lover laha ad sheyesh alana. So if a woman has a normal vest, vest or any of the other kind of hybrid vestas that we'll encounter in Simon for Chedal, if you have a straight vest that's only calendrical, and the Shasa vest arrives, Asa Lavra Laha Achi Shalana. So you're not allowed to have Dia unless you ask her about her status. Then Ela vest, Yom Lama Luriasa Have Kigia Shas vest. And if there's no vest at all, then an Ona Bainanis takes the place, or is the halachic equivalent of the vest Kabua. The Im Shasa Achra vest, Shir Shetispa Vitipal, Ba'la Vain Farklishal. And if you didn't ask her about Shasa vest, and then the amount of time elapses in which he could have been Sopharos, Shimonikiyah, Mantavelas, then you can assume that she is Tahora. So this is all based on the Mishnah Gemara and Daf Tesvav and Aleph, and the Machlokas Amarayim on the bottom of that Gemara over there. Chor Adashim, the Cheskas Tara, the Balayan. The default presumption is that absent the reis, a woman is considered to be the cheskas tara. And then the Gemara at the bottom has al iyam or hachiyam or amrufuna lo shanu al shalog yishas vesta, abl yishas vesta asura, kasavir vesta stereisa. Rabbi Ruchan Amar Filu Gishas Vestanami Mutares Kasavar Vestos Derabanan. Ravashi Masni Hakri Amar Huna Loshan Elisha Ela Vestli Yamin, Elisha Vestli Yamin look feeds us if there's a hybrid vest that's not only calendrical, came in the Vemaisa Talian Milsa Emelo Kafis, well, Chazai, Abba Yeshla Vestli Yamin Masula Shamish. So the Gemara initially is told whether you have to be concerned on about a woman's status changing based on Vestas deraisa or Vestas derabanan. The Tosus asks, on the bottom Tosus, Afilu gives man Vesta mutaras, Tema halak mutaras, Harmini b'shvuas l'kaman peraka isha, asar b'nei so she yifrushu b'nei shasein samach l'vesta. So there is a din of preaching samach l'vesta, even though it's only din derabanan. So how do you say that Higiyas Man Vesta is mutaris without further beer. Yesh Lomar, Kishishasa, Acher Vesta, Shalayamim, Shikola Litbo, Iri, the Savitfil, Masimi de Safe Grasa. So, as far as that Cheshbu is concerned, if you wait the amount of time that she could have gone to the mikvah, the Savitfil is Masimi de Safe Re'ia, and then you don't have to ask further. But leaving that aside, once he comes to the onus of vest, that has to be mevarer her status. Says the Aruch HaShulchan in Os Mem Rav, so the Mechaber wrote, Higiyah Shas Vesta Asa Lavu Lachiyah Shalana. So Tosos asked half of this that we just saw, but the Aruch HaShulchan says more basically, Eina Kavana Shas Vesta Mamish Dibizela Mahani Sheila, that simply asking the question, is it going to be matter or anything? Bonus of Vesta Manish. Should I feel the self of Vesta Aser? We're talking about where the Shas Avesta passed. And she says nothing. So maybe we should have said that Mistama Badka and she's Tahora. So the din is up. The don't rely on that presumption. You have to ask her if she's Tahora. And if she answers that she's Tahora, so implicit in the statement that she's Tahora is that she's a Bedika as well. So really, what we should have said is Asa Lavola, she's Shalana, if she's Tahora and she did a Bedika. So Rav Hashulchan says, it's self-understood, but if you're asking her if she's Tahora, she understands the din that you have to do Bedika the onus of that as well. And that's part of the same question. But Rav Hashulchan says, it's better that you should ask her if she did a Bedika as well. Did she do Bedika bonus of vest, or at least after the Shas of vest? Given that in practice, if you have a vest kavua, she's a surah, as we discussed yesterday, until you do Bedika. So you have to ascertain that you can't just assume that she's Torah and did a Bedika. You have to ascertain that she's Torah and did a Bedika. In principle, if you ask if she's Torah and she says yes, you don't have to ask Baruch HaBitcha Ketana, did you do Bedika? But in practice, Rav Hashulchan says that's a good idea to ask about the Bedika as well, because that's a critical part of the Birur that you need to do. Chavis Das writes here in Sifkat Lamed Beis, and we'll see in a couple of moments, Chavis Das writes the same thing related context right in the next siman, that it's not enough in this context if you pass an onus of S and you want to establish that your wife is still Torah. It's not enough that she is Shachavis Eslo, that she has to actually articulate verbally that she is Tahora. So this din of Ashiya Shalana requires a verbal response and not simply an action that would indicate that she is Tahora. So that comment to the Chavis Das is the same comment the Chavis Das makes in the next din, the beginning of Simon Kuf Pei Hei. The Chavis writes in the other direction. Stifiyut Aleph and Kulpe Dalet is a woman who has a Cheskas Tahara, but now she comes to an Onus Avest, so that requires a further beer to establish that the Cheskas Tahara hasn't been compromised. Simon Kulpe Hei, Aisha Shehi Becheskas Tmeya, Asur Lo Lovu La, Shetam Lo Tavalti. If a woman is Becheskas Tmeya, and it's time for her to go to the mikvah, it's Asur Lo Lovu La until she says that she went to the mikvah. Says the Aruch HaShulchan here that as we know from this week's Hadra, a woman has Nemanus, and perhaps it's the source for Eidach and Nemi Bisurin Bisafala. So in order to establish a woman has Nemanus on Bisafala without Eidim, because Eidach and Nemi Bisurin, if there's no Cheskas Isser, what about Iskas Gisura? So then it has to be Biyadav. So here, even though she's Tumeya, it's not considered Iskas Gisura. Why not? Because the norm is that the flow is not going to last forever. So it's the functional equivalent of lo eskazdik yisura, lo eskazdik teira. That's how Rav Hashulchan understands Tosfos in the meaning of Gittin, Ayin Shah. So in light of that, the Gemara says, on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, this then, that a woman is considered to be becheskas tuma until she says Tahorani. The Gemara says she has to say Tahorani. And the Chaver presents it as Achatomer lo Tavali, the lashon that she went to the mikvah. So here also, as Christ is a true quote in Sifkat and Aleph, it's not enough to be Shachar Zesel to indicate that she's Tahora, to do some act to indicate that she's Tahora, but she actually has to articulate it. The Rav Hashulchan is skeptical about that here in Eos Dalet. He quotes the Chavis Das, He says, "V'lo yadatu lanu." Why should that be? Atu hanira makaves. However, ikar rak ladas in netara. Ukishim rames aslau dayo. The kemedumani shabnos yisal boshes amrufi and tavalti. So it's uncomfortable for say mali tavalti. All we need to know, there's no agus here. We don't need an actual declaration. You just need to salve sex. So the woman has no money to salve her sex. So if she indicates that she went to the mitzvah being shacharis aslo, that should be sufficient. I think Rav Shakhtu thinks that the Yarach HaShulchan is correct, right? He may, I don't remember if he has a sentence like that in his English notes on the Rabbi Soloski sefer, he might, but Rav Shakhtu thinks the Yarach HaShulchan is more correct over here. The Baal HaShulchan, even though the Chav HaStas says the same thing both halachas, both by the woman who is Tahora, who now comes to a Shas Vest, and the woman who is Becheskas Tamei goes to the mikvah, in both of those cases, he requires a verbal declaration. It's not sufficient to have just an indication of Shalchadus Eslo. Rather, Shulchan suggests in the Be'ur and the end of Kuf Pei Dalet, maybe you could be Michalik, that even if you're going to dispute, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Chav HaStas only in Kuf Pei Hei and takes issue. The Aruch HaShulchan does not quote the Chav HaStas in Kuf Pei Dalet. So the Baal HaShulchan suggests that maybe even if you agree with the Aruch HaShulchan, you disagree with the Chav HaStas in the Tavalti context, there might be a difference between Kuf Pei Hei and Kuf Pei Dalet. Namely, that in a case where a woman is Tumeya, so that's already been established for days. Well, sorry. In the case of a woman is Tumeya, so that everyone knows that there's an Isser to be Shochev Etzel Ishto Nida. That is clear to everyone. So if a woman who was Tumeya for the last 12, 13 days is Shochev Etzel Baila, it's abundantly clear that she's indicating that she went to the mikvah. However, in the context of Prisha Ba'olus HaVest, the Larach HaVest, that may be less well-known. Or the requirement of a Bedika may be less well-known. So there, maybe you need a higher level of clarification that the woman indeed performed the Bedika. Maybe you don't have the right to assume, just because she's Shochavah Zetzlo, that she definitely did a Bedika after the Ba'olus HaVest, because maybe she didn't remember, maybe she wasn't, there was no major change in her status that would necessarily have reminded her that she needed to do that bedika. So that's what the Baal HaShulchan thinks, that one could distinguish between the case in Kuf Pei Hei and the case in Kuf Pei Dalet. Maybe everyone should agree to the chumrah of the Chav HaStas, or the position of the Chav HaStas in the Kuf Pei Dalet context. Okay?
Yeah, the computer
just went down that.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Okay. In the Rabbi Forsheimer Sefer, the Pre-Tara, he has a slightly different reason l'chalek, that in the case of Anida, a woman who was Huchzaka Tumeya, so there she was practicing all the harfakos and all the dinim of Anida for many days already. So that's a much starker shift in Abi Torah. And we clearly understand that if she's Shechavah Setzlo, that's an indication that she went into the mikvah. But when it comes to a Onus HaVest, so there was no change. The woman was acting as she was Tahor Labayla, as she was, for many days. So it's not as much in her consciousness that there should be a change in status that would require a Bedika. So that's another knach on the same basic distinction, that the mindset going into an Onus HaVest required Bedika is different than the mindset following Yemei Nidusa, Yemei Nidusa, Yemei Libuna, and therefore the Chav HaStas may be more compelling in the Kuf Pei Dalet context than in the Kuf Pei Hei context. Shevi Levi is as far in the opposite direction. Shevi Levi suggests, well, if you're going to be Mekel in the Kuf Pei Hei, where she is Vadai Tumeya, so then shouldn't you definitely be Mekel in Kuf Pei Dalet, where she's only Safek Tumeya? So that does take into consideration the Baal Shulchan's Kaftus Aris. But that's when he writes in the other direction that Kuf Pei Dalid, you should be more inclined to be Mekel than a Kuf Pei Hei. Okay, so I guess it could cut either way. In the Baal Shulchan's Aris, maybe a little bit more compatible. But Rabbi Karp writes that if you know for a fact that she went to the mikvah, how do you know for a fact that she went to the mikvah? I'm not sure, but let's say you you dropped her off in front of the building and started walking. So then, then you definitely don't have to say verbally tavalti, because there is a very clear context in which you're aware that she was going into the mikvah. The Ber Moshe, Deber Tziner, Chelek Dalet Simen Nun Ches, Chelek Dalet Simen Nun Ches, quotes an anonymous Mohara that he strongly disagreed with, who apparently suggested that the reason for the stand that she has to say Tavalti is because Bimei Chazal, the mikvahs, were cold and uncomfortable. And you have to worry that maybe she didn't really go to the mikvah properly because it was too uncomfortable. And that's what she says about it. But nowadays, where there's no tircha, there's no pacha, there's no nothing holding a woman back from going to the mikvah, then there's no such no such concern. So he writes that that is hara muta v'ray v'ger b'rin izhifa. You should very emphatically reject any such contention, because that's there's no raya from Rabbi Seinu Harishon Marachronim that was any at all the reason for this din. So again, the general psak in the Kitzes Farim is to be machmir here, but as well, the Aruch HaShulchan isn't convinced of the need. It would be a relatively low-stakes chumra, despite the Aruch HaShulchan's claim that women are reluctant to say tavalti. It's not exactly the most uncomfortable statement to make, and in context, it seems reasonable. So it doesn't seem like, even if there are... Because what you make of that doesn't seem like the most difficult chumra to have. Okay. So in Sif Beis and Sif Gimel, we have the halachas of a masla. Under what circumstances is a woman believed to present in a masla that a previous presumption of tumah was based on false premises? So in Sif Beis, the Mechaber quotes the Din of Gemara Ksuba Tzayin Beis, in Hufz HaKadidah B'Shvein Saha, Shara'u Allah Veshes B'Gadim HaMiyuchadim L'meini Dusa, Chashiva Kavadei Tmeya. That B'mei Chazal, when women dress differently B'mei Nidusan, if they're wearing big day Nidus in public, so that creates a Mechzakas of their status, and they're not believed after creating that Chazaka to recant. However, in Sif Gimel, the Mechaber writes that Amar Lo Baal Lo Tmei Ani, if she just says to her husband that she is Tmei, V'achar Kach Amra Tahor Ani, Ein Ana Menes. So the default position is that once she says Tmei Ani, she can't go back on that. Those are the sugyas in the Pesha Asher sugyas in Tzubis. V'im Nasna Masla Dvaraha. Kigon Shamaris Shalo Amrlo Kate Kila Alman Ne Shalo Hayaba Karaf List Bal Tashmish. But if there's a reasonable Amasla, so the Amasla could be effective. So in the context of Hufsa Kanidi Bishkeno Saha, at first glance it sounds like an Amasla is never going to be effective, because that's a stronger Mukhakas. If it's only a Dainal Bain Baila, so then we would entertain an Amasla on its merits. Whether that is a shot says it's a cutting gimbal, what's the case of an amasla? A woman believed that dam was dam, she saw some dam, she thought it was dam dame, and then inspired that it's dam akka. So that would be a perfectly legitimate amasla. She said to her husband Tmeani, because she believed that the dam that she saw was dam tame, and it turns out that she was wrong in the facts, and it was indeed maka, which did not render her tame. So the Torah quotes from the Ramban, what we just said is, if you just read the Mechaber straight, that's the impression you get, that you have this distinction between Hufzaka Nida Bishchein Oseha and Amr Labayla, that if it's Hufzaka Nida Bishchein Oseha, a Masa doesn't work, because that's a higher level, a more public state of status. So the Magia on the tour points out that it does not appear in our Ramban, so far as we can tell. The Shulta Giborim in Tzuvis, and the second part, Tassim Beis, Os Gemel, Shulta Giborim, Tassim Beis, Bedav Ruf in Tzuvis, Os Gemel, quotes the same din from the Ramban. It's also not in our Ramban. So it's not in the Ramban, it's not in the Ramban. However, it is in the Rashba. The Magi on the tour suggests that maybe the presentations that it does appear in the Ramban, and Ramban is based on how they present the Lachos. The Ramban, respectively, excuse me, only present the Din of Masa in the context of Omeris Tamei Ani, not in the context of Nida. So maybe have a mashmas there, as maybe the Firmiyata, the way it's presented in Shulchan Aruch, that the Din of Masa only applies in the Sif Gimel context and not in the Sif Beis context. So the Torah is bothered why that should be so. Why distinguish between Tamei Ani and Hufzaka Nida Bishchein Oseha? So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis Ha'arach Chesem and Aleph. Torah Sabayis Ha'arach Chesem and Aleph. The Rashba answered that there may be situations in which a woman is going to say Tamei Ani because of some kind of embarrassing situation, some kind of onus, as the example here in Shulchan Aruch, that Tashmish is Kasha Leha. So then, it's reasonable that there may be situations in which a woman is going to say Tamei Ani to her husband to avoid an uncomfortable situation, but she doesn't really mean it, and that could be upended by a legitimate amount. But to go to the extent of dressing a certain way in public, that far a woman wouldn't normally go unless she's really a Nida. And the Taz quotes a different consideration. The Taz here in Sifkatan Beis quotes from Reb Leib Niprag that there's another consideration, that if a woman is Hufzaka Nida Bishchein Oseha, so not everyone is going to know about the Amasa.
I sent out an email with two annoying things. One is that it's a friendly reminder that you're only allowed to park starting from 6 o'clock, and the other one is that you're only allowed to park in the approved parking lots.
I don't mute yourself, or I can mute you.
We're not approved for 27.
You can mute him.
Yeah, I'm looking.
It's a debate if they're going to give us a hard time about it. But...
okay. Mute him. Yeah, so the task goes from Reb Leib in Prague that if it's a Hufzaka Nida Bishchein Oseha situation, so very good, you're going to present at a masla, but who's to say that all the people who saw her wearing her big day neither are going to hear the masla, kind of like what we have by Re'ach HaGet. So that's a consideration that in a Re'ach HaGet situation where you know a woman can't remarry on the basis of a where there's a Re'ach HaGet, even if it wasn't necessary. One of considerations to show him is that even if we'll explain to people that this guy was only the chumrah, but not everyone's going to know the subsequent explanation because people were present at the get and weren't present afterwards for the clarification. See here too, not everyone's going to be present for the clarification, and therefore you can't just change her status based on the amasa. The Taz says for that reason. Then even you could have a case of Omeris Tamei Ani. If a person says Omeris Tamei Ani in the presence of a lot of people, so then you have the same consideration as Hufzaka Nida Bishchein Oseha. It's not the the context of where indeed they need it isn't the point. The point is that she is the information disseminated or impression is given to a wider group of people, and then it's harder to take back. So he says, as a matter of halacha, that would be the case, that if a woman says tamei ani in front of multiple people, then amasa is not going to help, even if it's a legitimate amasa. The Tosafot Shlomim is chalek on that. The Tosafot Shlomim disagrees. If you assume, like the reason the Rashi himself, so then it's you wouldn't necessarily be mechalek between, or you would still be mechalek between any kind of tamei ani. And it's other people over here who are stating tamei ani, but that's still not going to the same ranks as wearing big day nidus in public. And then the Taz here reference to Shuvah Sarah, Shuvah Sarah Man Simon Bays, the Maisa Shahaya of a woman who was concerned about Ayin Hara. She had previous miscarriages. She wanted to conceal her pregnancy as long as possible. So she colluded with her husband that they would go around to pretend that she's a nida, so no one would suspect that she is pregnant. So she told everybody, she told whoever was around, the B'nai Abaya says she's Tameya. So the question was, is the husband the Mutter Lavo Laha? In that case, is that a case of Omer's Tameyani? Or that's different because the husband knows from the beginning that this is all a show and it's only to give a misimpression. So the Ramah has the following, the Ramah that Shuvah has the following suggestion that the Lashon of the Gemara in Suvah Zayin Beis is that if it's Hufzaka Adina B'Shchein Asaha, Baila Lokala, that the husband incurs Malkus, the Rabbanan, presumably, the husband incurs Malkus if he is Ba'ala. So the Ramah points out that why is it Dafka he who gets Malkus? So he gets Malkus because she knows the truth. So he'll get Malkus because she's Hufzakanida Shainasa. So as far as he's concerned, he has to treat her as Pneya. If she knows the truth that she's Torah, she's not going to get Malkus. It doesn't incur that in the fact that she has this this relationship. But over here, so he also knows the truth. So if he knows the truth, doesn't make sense that he's going to be liable. And then he says, maybe Amasa does work. Maybe based on that Rashba, that here it's the Efshar B'Inyan Acher. There's no. There's no way to achieve a goal without making this misrepresentation. So maybe that should be a reason to be matir. So the Ramah goes on to say here, the Ramah in the Hagos, that Mikol Mokom Misha Rasul Hakmal Asma Shalal Lahamin Mamidis Chasidasu, Avamidina Nemenes Afil Vishaska Acherkach, Rakshi Hiba Vishochel Ezeisel Baila, Vehu Yodei Makir Shemash Amr Tkilat Meyani Asasa Machmas Kitata Shailo Ima. So the Ramah goes to Ben Yeruchim that where there's an Amasla, so then the Amasa doesn't even have to be articulated. If the woman is Shochebes Esla, that is sufficient to be Matir. And the Amasa doesn't even have to be articulated. The Shach writes in Sukkot and Dalet, Mikol Makom, near the Baal Chai Lishol, so he has to ask her. He can't just assume that the fact that she's Shochebes Esla is sufficient. She has to ask what's going on here. Didn't you say to Melanie? He says, even Rabbi Yerucham wasn't matir where she said explicitly that she's Tumeya. Just a case where she suggested that she's having cramps and maybe it's the onset of something. But if she said Tumeya Beferish, so then the Amasa has to be Beferish. And even though I'm all in agreement with that, and the tzir, where you don't need the amira, is only in this limited tzir, where the tmeani wasn't an explicit amira either. So that's what the shasums, that in practice, you need to articulate this master, that's what the chavazas assumes here as well. Taras Hashtanim doesn't think that's what the Ramah means, because you don't get that impression from the Lashon of the Ramah. And presumably the Chavis Das, the Shitasa, the Chavis Das is mapping in the previous two cases that you have to say Tavati with Pa, and you have to say Ashishalat with Pa. It makes sense that Chavis Das, here also in the context of a Masla, would require a verbal declaration as well. Okay. So let's just talk for a couple of minutes about Simin Kuf Pei Vav. Dine Bidikas Isha Bein Lefnei Tashmish Bein La'achar Tashmish. So we're not spending too much time on this because we'll see in a couple moments that in our yeshiva, as opposed to the rest of the world, this simon isn't really the mice. So this is all based on a Yubeis on an Aleph, Yubeis on the base. The very end of the first parak on Yubeis on the base. So, without getting into the sugya, but Rashi understands Maskan Sugamar and Afi Beis Ami Beis that if a woman does not have a vest kavua, and for all intents and purposes, Kamat don't have women with a real vest kavua these days, definitely not when they get married. So, if a woman does not have a vest kavua, Rashi understands the maskanas gemara here, man the masniha la masniha, that there are no need for bedikos as far as hatil abayla. That if a woman is a sukkah b'taras, then she needs bedikos to ascertain at a given time that she's tohu. But in the context of tashmish, there's no need for bedikos. Now kodim tashmish, now the upper tashmish. If a woman is not a sukkah b'taras, if she does not have vest kavua, that's Rashi, very end of the amud here on Yubeis on the base, and that's the position of the Rashbam and the Ri, and it goes Maimonides Perek Dalid Oskaf, Perek Dalid Oskaf, Rashbam Ri Sefer Truma Smag. The Rash. It's Choshesh for Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel here, Paskins like Chanina Ben Atignos in the Sugya here, that a woman always needs Bedikos Kodim Tashmish. If a woman has a vest, does not have a vest Kavua, then she always needs Bedikos Kodim Tashmish, whether or not, even if she's not a Sukkah B'Taras. Even if she's not a Sukkah B'Taras. And according to that, then there's no way out of that. You always need bedikos, and even if you perform gimel bedikos to be massacred in a row, that doesn't help because you always need bedikos. And the middle position we showed him is that of the Ran and the Rashba, the way they understand the Rif. The Ran, the Rashba, and Zayin of the Beis in the Torah of Bais Aruch, that if a woman does not have a vest kavua, then she needs three bedikos in order to be massacre as Eina Roa Machmas Tashmish. So she needs to perform three bedikos in a way that's going to be massacre as Eina Roa Machmas Tashmish. And the Lashon of Gemara, Rav Chanina ben Atignos, Mishameshes Mishnei Edim, Hein Ifsua, Hein Tiknua, that's her downfall, that's her salvation, that's her. That's the problem, that's the solution. So the Ran, the Rashba understand that means, Hein Ifsua, that it could create problems if you're going to be massacred as Roa Tashmish, then she's going to be a Sura L'Bai L'Lola. Hein Tiknua, that if you find out that there's no pattern, so then she's not Roma Tashmish, and she doesn't require further bedikah. So again, She does Rashi, Limaskan, and Sigamara. He said if a woman has does not have a Veskalua, there's never a need for B'dikos Abayla, period. She does Harash, you have to be Choshesh, that you always need B'dikos Abayla, and there's no way out of that. And the middle position around Rashba is that you have to be massacred, she has to be massacred herself three times as Eina Roa Machna Tashmish, and then there's no need for subsequent B'dikos, absent any Reisas ad Sof Yameh. So the Mechaber here in Sif Beis writes, "In Ein Leves Kavua Shalosh Parim Harishonim, In Ein Leves Kavua Shalosh Parim Harishonim, Tzrichin Livda Kodem Tashmish V'Acher Tashmish, Hu Beisha V'Beit Shala, In Hufsa Kavos and Gimel Parim She'Ein Ro Adam Achmas Tashmish, Shuvein Tzrichin B'Dika Klal Olufni Tashmish V'Lo Acher Tashmish." The Rechaber goes 2 days. The first day is the Rashba and the Ram Bidas Arif, that you can get out of the problem if you do three Bidikos to be massacred with any Rav Tashmish. And then he goes around the Rash, that you always have to be massacred to require Bidikos Odom Tashmish. And the Shah, in my over here, even though Rashi is not quoted in as a day in Shulchan Aruch at all, the Shachri is Marek established the Hittites, the Iker is like Rashi, that a woman does not require Bidikas if she doesn't have a Ves Kavua at all, even to be massacred herself as Eino Roa Machmas Tashmish. So if you require the Bidikas, so that's a whole shiur to figure out when do you perform the Bidikas and when is it going to be effective, but we're not giving a shiur because we're short on time, and even though the minhag ha'olam is to be machmir, that's what it says in all the kisses firing, but the minhag in our yeshivas across the board seems to be makel, like the shach, like Rashi, that there's no need for these bedikas to be massacred women as Eina Roa Machmas Tashmish, even if she doesn't have a ves kavua. I'm assuming no one here heard contrary instructions. Okay. Fine. Moving right along. Let's talk for a few minutes about whether a katzan can establish a vest. So the Mechaber writes in the very end of Siman Kuf Tzadi, that we didn't discuss when we learned the Hilchos Kuf Tzadi, because it's more nogeya for vestos than for tzamim, or it didn't make sense to talk about it in the context of tzamim. Mechaber writes in Sifnim Dalet, Ein Kitzadim Mishon Vest. A Kassam doesn't create a vest. Kitzad, Masa Kassam Rosh Chodesh, Afilu Shalosh Ba'amim, Lo Kavasa V'lo Akrasa. So if a woman sees a Kassam, even if she sees a Kassam in a pattern, three Rosh Chodeshes in a row, it doesn't create a vest Kavua, and it's not Oker, previous vest. Chutz mikisnei eid habadukla shehein etamim b'chol shehein v'rehein kuri'iyah s'chol davar, except for a kesem and an eid baduk. If a woman stams, sees a kesem and a beged, that doesn't create a vest. If a woman sees a kesem and a bedika and an eid baduk, that creates a vest. That's considered like a kuri'iyah. So just as if a woman sees a if a woman sees that on Bidika, that counts as a Re'iyah in Shiv Nekiyim. It also counts as a vest, or creates a vest, in Hilchos Vestas. Where does this come from? This is based on a Ravid in Bali Nefesh, Sharak Samim, Simon Gimel. The Ravid writes, Harela Kesem Tamei, She'ena Yechol Litlos. If a person sees a Kesem Tamei that there's no Kli on, Tzricha Hesek Tara, V'teisha V'lav Shivin Akiyam, V'tzricha Bidika, V'nir Ali, Afa Pishach Marnu Ala Kesem, V'yasinu Asol Kiri'iyah V'in Shivin Akiyam L'chol Dav, either we're machmir to treat a Kesem as a Re'iyah to require a full Torah process. But it's not enough to create a vest that you should be like the day of a regular re'iyah. The only omer she'ena k'sam in kovim vest v'lo okr vest chutz mikisme in a badagla she'hem etan v'kol she'hem v'rein k'riyah s'chol davar. So we treat a bedika as a re'iyah. So that's not a kesem. You don't have kulos k'sam in, as we discussed on a bedika. So bedika is a different status. That's not a generic kesem. So it may only be a dot, but we treat that as re'iyah. That's relevant in vestos as well. But a regular kesem on a bed is not kaveh vest, it's not ochre vest. So says the Ravid, so says the Ramban, halacha yuchas, and his halacha is exactly the same lashon as the Ravid. And that's what's reflected in the Chanar at the very end of Simen Kuf Sadi. If you look in the Tas of Katha Memalef, he has a raya for this din of the Ravid from a Gemara and Daf Yud Dalet. Bali Yishochan writes, Sifkatan Tuf Kuf Yud Gimel. It's got to be a long simon to get up to a Sifkatan Tuf Kuf Yud Gimel. He writes that even though the Mechaber is explicit that a kesem is going to, a kesem and an eibadik, meaning a re'iyah, a bedika, is going to create a vest, the minhag ha'olam of most mori hara is not that way, unless you have three re'iyos. So if it happens three times, and if it happened that we create a vest, you have to be choshish for it. But even a bedika does not create a vest. What's this based on? So we quote the Levush, and the Svar of the Levush is that essentially the point of vestos is that we have a certain belief that because of the woman's biological pattern, she's predisposed to see dam on this day, or whatever the whole list of vestos that we're concerned about include. So that makes sense if a woman has a re'iyah or has a significant volume of dam. But the re'iyah that we're concerned about that's going to create a vest, so that should be a re'iyah where dam flows. But simply to have a, even if we're machmir to treat a bedika as a re'iyah in the internal, in Yishim Nekiyam, because you don't have kulos k'samim, because of the context of which you found adam, at the end of the day, that should be a different standard than for vestos, because vestos are trying to be predictive of when a woman is going to have a flow. And the dot on a bedika cloth, even if we're machmer in Hilchos Ksamim, but that's not predictive of a re'iyah dam b'shefa. So that's the reason that one would be mako, or the svara, why even on an e-baduk, one would distinguish between a status as a re'iyah in Hilchos in Simen Kuf Sadi and the status as a vest for purposes of Simen Kuf Pei Dalek. Rabbi Moore quotes paragraph in Bay Sif Yud Gimel from Avil Yashiv that if a woman has any amount of dam on an Eid Bidika Shalom Bishas Vesta, she performs a Bidika for whatever reason, Shalom Bishas Vesta, not during the Nasa Vest, and there's no Hargasha. So even though it's metame the woman, even though we treat that as a re'iyah, the Indian Shunakim, but that's not considered a re'iyah as far as vestas. That you can't say chazaka damba bargashi, you can't say that there's a presumption that this is indicative of a predictability that she's going to see done, if it is a minimal amount of dam in the context. He quotes from the base mayor along those lines that there's no such chazaka if it's a re'iyah mu'etas. We'll get there. He quotes a Chasim Sofer that he understands otherwise. Chasim Sofer, Yoredeya Kuf Samuk Lav, who assumes that no, even a pachas mikachardo is going to be garment vest. And the Beis Meir that he quotes assumes that even a regular re'iyah that's only a tibas dam kachardo. The Beis Meir assumes a re'iyah that's only a tibas dam kachardo doesn't create vestas. A vest is only created if there's some significant amount of that. And he was observing this note that even a pachas mi tibas dam kachardel could cause a vesta. So Rav Yashuv thought that the Beis Meir is correct there, and definitely in the context of bedika, that if you do bedika shelo b'shas vesta and it yields a drop of dam, that's not going to create a vest. However, says Rav Yashuv, if it's during the onus of vest, so then he thinks that even a kol shehu on a bedika is going to create a vest, even if the flow is going to start tomorrow. Today's a yom vest. So she does, she follows the din of Shulchan Aruch and performs a bedika bonus of vest, and there's a drop, there's a spot of dam on that bedika. So she's still alive now, fine. But there's no flow until tomorrow. So what's the yom vest? What's the yom vest? So Rav Yashuv thinks that you have to be machmir in both directions. That you have to be choshesh that day one when she did the bedika with the drop of dam is a yom vest. But he's not prepared to say that lukula that tomorrow wouldn't be a yom vest when you have the ikar flow. So this happens. This happens very frequently. You have as we discussed when we talked about some. You have a precursor to the re'iyah that could come a day or two earlier, but there's no canvas there of that. It's a spot. So we also thought in that case you have to be machmir directions to treat the first. You have to be choshesh that day one when you have the spot is a re'iyah, and the next day when you have the is a vest, and the next day when you have the ikar flow, that is a vest as well.
How big is
the
spot?
How big or small?
Small.
Is any amount, sounds like.
How big is
the spot? And what's the re'iyah?
Yeah.
You know when you see it. what we know is what's considered the beginning of the flow. Rav Vosner has a slightly different approach here. Chuvas Shevet Alevi, Chela Gimel, Simen Kuf Yud Ches. Chela Gimel, Simen Kuf Yud Ches. I'll just read you his bottom line. It's a few pages of Chuva. He writes, bottom line, these are the maskats. That if she has a kesem that precedes the re'iyah, and there's a gap of time, so where do we have the vest? So he says, if there's more than a me'es le'es gap between the kesem and the re'iyah, so then the kesem has no relevance for vestas. If there's a gap of more than 24 hours, then you don't take into consideration the original kesem. If it's less than 24 hours, he thinks that the majority opinion is that we're still not concerned about the kesem as the vest. He says, if it's more than 24 hours, no one's going to argue. It's less than 24 hours, he thinks it's a machlokas. He thinks, he's told this on Rishonim, he thinks that the ikar is that we're not concerned about the kesem even there. So part of this is based on a Gemara on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. But 10 lines down, Tana Rabbanan, Rasa Kasem Achrikat Rasa Dam. The woman sees the Kasem, and then she sees that after the Kasem. Tola Kisma Biryasa Me'es Leis. Divrei Rebbe. Says Rashi, Tola Kisma Biryasa. Vaminan Hai Kasem Idam Nidus Zehu. Utahora militame achas hakibus ella mishametsaso ulahaba. So if you see a kesem and then you see regular re'ia within the eighth place, so you can assume that the kesem is connected to the re'ia, and this is a kesem of nidus. So Ravasnu thinks that based on one second. Right, so he puts it as Machlokas Rishonim, how you read that line in the Gemara of Tola Kisma Briyasa Me'esleis. So Rashi understands that Tola Kisma Briyasa means that you assume that the Kesem is a precursor of the Re'ia, and you start counting your Shivanakia, or you start counting your count from the Kesem. But the Rashi and other Rishonim understand that Yeshvin the Shivas Yimei Nida from the Re'ia and not from the Kesem. So he thinks that that's relevant to our Shaila here. And therefore he thinks Rov Yishonim are not like Rashi, that even in that case, even if it's Tof Me'es La'es, you don't start counting your Shivan Akiyam from the, or you don't start making your Cheshbonos from the Kesem, you make it from the Re'ia. And therefore, even if you have a kesem within Me'es La'es of the Re'ia, the vest is only nikba based on the Re'ia, not like Rav Yashiv. And that's, Rav Avadia writes like that. Rabbi Forth thinks that that's a psak mikubal, as does the Badi Yashofan in Sifkatan Taf Kuf Dalet. That according to Rav Yishoyim, what emerges in that Gemara is that we don't take into consideration the kesem for being kaveh vestos, even or for any relevance, even if it's me'es le'es. So Rabbi Morgan goes to the Yashiv that was the time where the norm was Adam was Baba Hargasha. So if you have a kesem that's not Baba Hargasha and a re'ia that is Baba Hargasha, so then you're only going to take into consideration both in Yishim Nakiyim and in Yivestos, the re'ia that's Baba Hargasha. But nowadays, that almost no one has Dam as Baba Hargasha, so then it may be a different, the woman doesn't experience a kesem with any less of a Hargasha than she experiences a re'ia. There's no gosh of any of them. So then maybe the cheshbon is a little bit different. And maybe then you would be choshesh for the kesem as the owner. Moshe writes something similar in Chelek Gimel Yeredeya Simen Nun Aleph, Chelek Gimel Simen Nun Aleph, because of the difference between our lack of Hargasha. And even though Moshe held that everyone does have Hargasha, they just don't know it. But in practice, they don't know it. The experience is, they can't point to the different experience of a kesem and a re'ia. So again, so in this classic case where you have a precursor kesem to a subsequent re'ia that's not in the same ona, so Rav Yashiv thinks that you have to be machmir essentially to treat both the day of the Riyah and the day of the Kasem as potential vestos. I believe Rabbi Willig is noted in that direction as well. And many poskim, Rav Elsner, Rabbi Forrest, the Bali Yerushalchan, Shevet Levi, assume that we're only concerned about when the Riyah begins for the purpose of Vestos and not the the Kesem. Okay, so we will stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, next time, pick up with the beginning of Kuf Pei Tes. I will